I'm Sean.
And I'm Alex.
And that's Grayson.
And this is Autism Building the Puzzle.
One piece at a time.
Hi, and welcome to Autism Building the Puzzle, one piece at a time. Sean here, super excited with my wonderful wife, Alexandria. What's up?
Hey, what's up? Going to be answering some questions.
Yes, a fun little episode. More listener questions.
I'm excited. I love these.
Yes, this is one of the favorites. One of our favorites.
Yeah, we love getting feedback from you guys.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's one of your favorites, too, because we get down into the questions of what you guys really want to know. So,
yep.
Why don't you kick us off, sweetheart?
All right. So, Kim asked, why did you start the podcast? The reason we started the podcast was just to reach more people and be there and try to help anybody that we could just from what we learned ourselves and, you know, just from information that we have.
Yeah, and to support people, provide people with the knowledge that we've learned to hopefully, you know, help a lot of people that are earlier on in their journeys, you know, make it the learning process faster for them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So they can take advantage of what we've learned, you know, learn from our mistakes, our successes, and, you know, hopefully that makes their journey, you know, a little less tumultuous.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
Next question is from Rachel, which is, what is Grayson's biggest challenge? So I would probably say his sensory needs are very heightened, and sometimes he has trouble focusing. That is a big challenge for Grayson. And I would probably say not being able to communicate. I mean, he gets his point across, but it still causes frustration. There's still frustration there. So I would say those are the two biggest challenges.
Yeah, I would say definitely with the communication. He's learned a lot and a lot of ways to communicate. Mm-hmm. But by no means is he an expert when it comes to PEX cards and, you know, or sign language or any of the nonverbal forms of communication. I mean, he's good at...
He's getting a lot better at PEX. A lot better.
Oh, yeah.
With, like, his food, you know? We haven't expanded on that yet. We're trying to get those down to where he... It's just, you know, second nature for him, so...
I think, you know, the speech has really had a huge impact on the PEX.
Yeah, I think so, too.
That's really helped, especially because... You know, with ABA, we weren't always using PEX cards for all of his reinforcements. You know, it was primarily for his iPad and then for food and, you know, yogurt, snacks, bottles, stuff like that. So, you know, since we started speech therapy, he's really been much more engaged in using the PEX cards for his rewards. So, like, he gets to choose his reward.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a different level of motivation for him.
Yeah.
Now with those PEX cards. And he's picked up a lot over the past, I would say, 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, I totally agree with your time frame. Yeah. And, you know, I think it helps, too, like how with speech therapy, we're having you kind of distance yourself down, like, the hallway and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think, you know what it is, too? Like, I really think his receptive language has been so good. And, like, for the past, like, 6 months to a year, I was like, wow, his receptive language. But over the past couple of days, I've noticed it even getting better. Yeah. Like, when he was in the tunnels today at the playground and you said, put your foot down, like, so that he could kind of push himself up the tunnel. And he did it, you know? And it was the same thing. I forget what I said to him earlier. But he just did it. And I was like, wow. Like, I didn't even have to show him. He just did it.
Well, it's amazing. Like, we get to points where... Like, oh, he's doing so well with this. And then, like, 2 months later, you're like, wow, I thought he was doing so well with that, but now he's doing, like...
Even better.
Like, 10 times better.
Yeah, and he pointed tonight for, like, the first time, like, actually pointing. And right away, I rewarded him with a yogurt. And I was like, good job pointing. I ran to the cabinet. And you could tell he was proud of himself.
He would point at stuff like on his iPad and things like
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But not like to get your attention.
Not like to point at like, hey, can you get me that? Or
Yeah, exactly. Or look at this. Yeah.
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 Which is awesome. Mm-hmm. Come a long way over that. We've been working on pointing, so.
Yeah. He's unbelievable.
Definitely. Next, from LaToya.
Hi, LaToya.
I'm deciding if I want to do ABA therapy. What do you believe are the positives and negatives of ABA therapy?
I think, like with anything, you know, especially ABA, I think you have to pick a good company. I think there can be a lot of negatives depending on who you choose. My decision with ABA was, you know, in the beginning, we had a really hard time with Grayson, as you guys know, through early intervention. And I just really wanted to ease into the ABA because I didn't want to make it adversive, because Grayson has always been a different kind of case to where they can't figure it out and has always been the opposite. So I just kind of wanted to ease into it, and I loved the company we had. They were really respectful with that. I felt always comfortable. So yeah, there are the things you want to look for. Do they like when the therapist shows up? Are they enjoying therapy? It has to be fun for them too. You don't want it to be like, oh, as soon as they see them, it's like flipping out and they can't calm down. It shouldn't be like that. So if it is like that, you might want to kind of reevaluate, you know, your provider, who you have and things like that, and look into other companies. I know when we started ABA, I filled out for like 6 companies at once and set up evaluations. And it was the second, I believe, that came out. And I was like, that's who I want. Like, I like them. So, and that's who I went with. But that's the best way.
Yeah, and I mean, there aren't nearly as many negatives if you choose a good provider.
Right. You have to do your DD, due diligence, and, you know, and just do your research.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, because you have a lot of poor providers out there that do things that are not really appropriate anymore, or they're very unflexible. I would say, like, one of the things you want to look for that we really appreciate it, especially about our BCBA in particular, is her flexibility. Mm-hmm. Like, she's really open to all different things. She doesn't look at ABA as the end-all, be-all, you know what I mean?
Right.
And nothing else matters but ABA. Like, a lot of BCBAs are very much like that.
And especially with his sensory needs, you know, she wasn't like, oh, this is ABA, we're not doing anything involving sensory. And that could have very well happened.
Yeah.
But she realized, and the therapist realized how dependent Grayson is on his sensory needs being met. And if they're not met, he has a really hard time. And then what's happening is he's just stimming through the whole appointment, the whole therapy session.
Exactly.
So it's better to get those needs met in the way he needs so that he can focus and work. And it was really helpful.
Yeah, in case you don't know, the stimming is really more of an OT thing. But like Alex was saying, the ABA company that we work with is very open. The BCBA is open to his supplements he takes, and if they help him, she thinks that's fantastic. You know, she's all for speech, where, you know, I've heard BCBAs that are like, no, you don't need to go to speech. You can learn to communicate with us, doing PECs with us.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, the BCBA is probably more important than the company itself.
I agree with that.
And, you know, poor BCBAs in every single company.
Absolutely.
You know?
100%.
So, I mean, I don't see too many negatives when it comes to ABA. I mean, it's kind of hard sometimes, I guess, on the negative side. It's challenging, especially in the beginning, to kind of see, like, your child getting upset about something, you know, and then the therapist pushing them through to make sure they fulfill the demand before they get what they want and stuff like that. And it's hard to see your kid, like, getting emotional, crying about that kind of stuff. Like, you always want to be, like, such a good parent. And I think that was hard for both of us in the beginning. Yeah, especially when you're not used to it.
And, you know, that's, like, why, like, we eased into it, so it was a little bit easier. But it's definitely hard. It's 100% hard. But I think at the end of the day, you start realizing, you know what, I can't keep... You can't sit there and, like, rescue them every second. They have to get through this, because if you do that, then they're going to always look to you to get out of something, and you don't want to create that either. So even though it's really going to be hard, let them do what they need to do. Because I know a lot of parents will fight back, like, well, he's crying. Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? But you kind of have to just, you know, learn and observe and be comfortable, you know, and make sure you're okay with everything. You'll know as a parent if it feels right or not.
Yeah.
You know, and like I said, set up. I recommend setting up at least 10 evaluations, or if not, if that's too many for you, I would say at least 5, 100%. 5 evaluations right off the bat, fill out all the paperwork and get them all set up and have them all come out, and you will know with your gut who to go with.
Yeah, and go with your gut feeling. And, you know, if that means, like, you learn a little bit about ABA therapy, mm-hmm. or you start ABA therapy and you don't like it for some reason,
you can always stop.
Yeah, I mean, stop. You know, ABA is not for every parent, and it's not for every child. And
some days you're not
going to
like it. Some days I don't like it, you know? Some days, yeah. I'm like, I don't agree with that. But then, like, the next day, I'm like, okay, I see. Like, it's just that initial, like, reaction as a parent. But I realize that it's the best thing I can do for Grayson. And as much as I want to run over and save him sometimes, I'm not doing him any justice. So I have to sometimes be like that.
One thing I didn't realize when I became a parent was that, you know, it's not always about, you know, rescuing them and being there for them for, you know, solve every problem and, you know, things like that. Them. Like, you know, to be a good parent, sometimes you have to do
to make
the hard
decisions.
Things,
yeah.
You know?
Sometimes they'll hate you now, but one day they will thank you for it. So that's how it works.
We'll be right back after a word from our show sponsors. Here at Building the Puzzle, we understand how difficult and challenging it can be for parents with autistic children that have communication delays. Well, if you're in New Jersey, you're in luck. The Speech Paradigm has you covered. They're helping children overcome speech challenges all across New Jersey. They offer both telehealth services as well as in-home therapy. Please reach out to them. You can take a look on their website at www.thespeechparadigm.com. You can reach out by phone at 732-203-5268. You can also find them both on Facebook and Instagram as well at The Speech Paradigm. We are also sponsored by Grayson & Company. Making homemade toys. They have everything from wooden homemade toys to sensory bins, sensory boards, all different kinds of toys for your children. They can be reached at grayson-company.myshopify.com as well as on Facebook and Instagram as well as Etsy. On Etsy, they can be found at Grayson and Company Toys. And now back to the show. Okay, number 4, Alex. How do you recommend I find more support as well as maintain my own sanity? I am a single mom and struggling. Wendy.
Okay, Wendy. I would say, since you're a single mom, I'm sure you don't have time, a lot of time to really have time to yourself or go anywhere and things like that. So I would say joining online support groups. We run an online support call. Well, over the phone support call. We'll actually have it posted in our show notes, the information, the access number, and all of that. You can call us. We have that every Tuesday night from 8 to 8:30. That's a great idea. And like I said, support groups. Join support groups in your area, wherever you live, and you'd be surprised of how many parents of autistic children there are in those groups. And if you're for respite from the state, and, you know, you're really struggling and you need that time, then look into respite. I don't know how comfortable you are. You know, sometimes your sanity is worth an hour. I was never comfortable with respite just because just wasn't something I was into. I just felt as though if I was home all day with Grayson and I had to go food shopping that bad, I would just wait till my husband was home. But since you are a single mom, that's completely different. So yeah, I would say support groups and talking to family if you have, you know, supportive family members. Sometimes that's difficult in itself. But friends, just try to be transparent as much as, you know, you're comfortable with, and you'd be surprised how many are there for you. But I definitely feel for you. I couldn't imagine going through this as a single mom. It's got to be really, really, really hard. So, and I think just trying to take self-care when you put the baby down, or your, you know, toddler, or I don't know how old your child is, but when you put them down, go get a hot bath, go, you know, give yourself a nice hot facial, things like that before you get into bed, just those little things. And then watch a half an hour of your favorite show and just sit there and eat something while you're lying in bed, and then go to sleep.
One thing I just thought about.
Like, that's, I love that plan. Sounds so good right
now. That's Alex's favorite way to cap off a day.
Yes.
One thing that you made me think of there, is, and it, you know, it came up in therapy the other day, actually, with our therapist. You know, the therapists are allowed to go out with you and your kids to places too.
Yes.
Especially being a single mom, you know, I know it's probably hard. I don't know if you have more than one child, but, you know, it's hard to go places by yourself, especially if you have more than one child. But even with an autistic child, with Grayson, I mean, I can only imagine. We went to Sesame Place a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I can only imagine if one of us brought him by ourselves. It was hard with the two of us. So
did that twice. Did that two times. Now you know why that day I was probably even, you know, extra,
you beep.
Know. Beep. The B word. Yeah, it's hard, you know, and
so, you know, look into that if you're, you know, doing ABA therapy. If you're not, I mean, I would try to, like, recruit some of your friends or family.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have friends and stuff in the area. You know, even if you, you know.
And if you don't, write a journal. Sometimes even just writing it down and just writing your feelings down can be really, really helpful. Of just, yeah. And I think in a journal you can kind of write down more than what you would tell people. So I think that's really helpful, honestly. I did that for years, and I think that helps a lot. So. Yeah. Next question. This is from an anonymous person. Sean, my husband is in denial. How do you recommend I help him come around to the reality of the situation?
You know, that's a tough one. I think it's very difficult for a spouse to, you know, push that acceptance of a situation onto the other.
I think they kind of have to come around on their own time.
You know, if it wasn't a spouse, you know, I'd probably give you, like, a different recommendation. But, you know, I would say, first of all, try to get him involved in the therapy. Even if it's not, he's not hands-on with anything, you know, just him being around in the house one day when you do therapy, you know, that could be, like, a huge boost for him. Like, he could see things a little bit differently in a different light, so to speak. You know, I also think, you know, giving him some resources. So even, like, reading my blog posts on our blog, as a father, you know, pointing that out to him, say, hey, why don't you check these out? This is, you know, a father of an autistic child. You know, maybe it'll help you understand what he went through.
Right.
You know, that's really why it's there. So, you know, hopefully, you know, you take advantage of that, and, you know, your husband could take advantage of that. I mean, obviously, like, going to talk to somebody, you know, it's an emotional thing. And I think, you know, men sometimes have difficulty talking about their emotions and stuff like that. And, you know, it's not every man's strength for sure. So, you know, if you can maybe encourage him to talk to somebody, whether it be a friend, a trusted friend, a family member.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be great to, for, you know, you to recommend, you know, maybe they talk to a professional, but I would probably start out maybe with a friend.
Yeah.
Because I know that can get, they, you know, he could potentially get very defensive at that point.
And not a lot of men like to go to therapy, you know, they don't want to be approached with that. So I definitely think coming from a friend is better. 100%.
Yeah. All right. Number six on our list from Don. How can I get involved in autism activism? That's awesome, Don, that you want to get involved in activism. And, you know, there's a lot of resources out there, such as, you know, I know Autism Speaks gets a bad rap, but they do promote a lot of different groups and events. So if you go on their website, I know they have a lot of different things where people can volunteer for different activities and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, you could use autism, you know, since Sean said a lot of people don't like Autism Speaks, you could still look at their page just for resources and things like
that. Yeah, resources to other organizations that, you know, do different events and fundraisers and awareness walks. And
you know, why not start your own?
Like that? Yeah.
I mean, that's what we did. You know, we sold T-shirts, and part of the proceeds went to the
building the pool. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So do things like that. Create it. You can send the money wherever you want. A foundation that, you know, does you know, works with autism that you actually support. Is a great thing.
Definitely.
Organize a walk, 5K, have your family, friends, all of that attend.
Yeah.
Set a place where you're going to walk, you know, some kind of trail. You all follow each other. That could be really fun.
You can also check the schools. Schools sometimes have resources.
Yes.
And then there's obviously also, like, specialty schools for children with autism and other, you know, developmental delays or things like that. Obviously, a lot of those schools only have children with autism and those delays in them. They don't have neurotypical kids. So I'm sure if you contact them, they would have tons and tons of ways you can get involved and help.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
100%. Okay, next question is from Teresa. I'm having trouble getting a proper IEP approved by the school system. What are your recommendations? So I think the first thing is understanding what the school's reasons are. What is their reason for not approving the IEP? Make sure you read the explanations, all of that stuff. Then what you could do is you could contact a parent training information center, which is also known as PTI, and they can give you the skills and the information that they need to work with the schools that provide special education services. Talk to an education advocate. There are advocates out there that will fight for you to make sure your child's needs are met through their IEP.
Lawyers, too. There's lawyers that specifically do that. One I can think of off the top of my head, and I don't know what if she works in every state or what state she works in, but Bonnie Yates, she's a huge autism advocate and lawyer and works with even volunteers, does a bunch of, you know, complimentary work with parents of kids with autism. So
yeah, and if your child isn't eligible for services under, it's called IDEA, IDEA, check Section 504, the Rehabilitation Act. It's called the 504 plan, and that can help your child manage and learning and thinking differences and accommodations. They can even give your child extra time on tests and things like that. Sometimes the school will suggest the 504 plan, so definitely look into that. Next, get help from outside of school. Like we said, other parents, ask them about their experiences. That's what we did when we were looking into the school district in our area. I kind of like just asked around to our therapists because they work in our area. They know what's going on with the school districts, and they were the best people to get the information from because, of course, if you go to look at a school, here the school district came out to our house. But if you go to look at a school, you're only seeing the outside. You're not really seeing what's happening inside. So I think the best way to gauge that is from other parents, honestly. Ask for mediation, and what you could do is you could also consider filing a due process complaint. It's a related options estate complaint. That's what it's known as. And sometimes it actually ends up going to court. And the judge will have to award, you know, if the child gets those services or not. And if not, then you have a right to appeal that and try to get a lawyer and things like that. I think that's the biggest thing. But definitely go through and read through what the school's reason is for that. And if they're in therapy, ABA or anything, sometimes they can be in there for the IEP meetings and they can kind of try to help too.
Yeah, because they have their assessments and their data. And that was what I wanted to say. Make sure whatever, you know, reasoning they have data that supports their reasoning.
Right.
Because if they don't, they're full of you-know-what.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, we also have to remember they don't want to spend more money than they have to.
Right.
On resources and do more than they have, the minimum. You know what I mean? Because, you know, most of these school districts don't have enough money to support themselves as it is.
Yeah.
So, you know, but your child is...
They deserve that.
You know, they deserve, and, you know, the state, you know, the country actually mandates that they get a, you know, reasonable education in the least restrictive environment possible.
Right.
So, and if they're not getting that, you know.
And don't feel like you're, like, being mean by speaking up or anything like that. Make sure you speak for your child and fight for those services and don't back down, you know.
Yeah, you're your child's most important and best activist, so.
Yes.
Next we have.
Next question.
What should I look for in an RBT?
Oh, Alexa. Hi, Alexa. Love your name. I love all of your names.
So, I mean, I think it's fairly similar to a BCBA. The first thing is you want to make sure they have some experience. We've run into that a number of times.
They will send people who are not certified and have no experience, so definitely check that.
And you're going to want some, you know, you're going to want to make sure they fit with any other therapists you have. You know, the same... Not necessarily style, but at least the same level of follow-through.
Yeah.
Because you can't have one therapist come in and be like, oh, yeah, no, don't worry. You can just do whatever you want. Let's just do this. And, you don't want to do that today? Fine, no problem. You know, versus one that's like, okay, I know you don't want to do this, but we got to learn to get through it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
And a good RBT is able... They're able to adapt to different environments and your child's behaviors. You need to make sure that if your child's having a meltdown or tantrum, oh my gosh, if I can get it out, temper tantrum, that they remain kind of level-headed and know what to do. They don't get frustrated. They don't get upset. They don't get flustered. You know, and we spoke a couple episodes ago about RBT we just got rid of. We had explained, like, you know, you have to follow through with Grayson because she was new to the autism field and all of that. And we explained that you have to follow through. And she said, that's not what I'm about. And I thought, well, then you're not going to work out here. And sometimes you just have to be like that. You need to choose who's going to be the best and who's going to challenge your child and always have them thinking and advancing and growing to the next level. Not staying the same. You could do the same thing that she wanted to do on your own.
Yeah, and that might work. That might work for some kids. But
it's hard, especially if they have autism.
But, like, that won't work for Grayson. He's not going to learn.
And it's not going to work forever.
It's just a waste of our time, her time, Grayson's time.
Yeah, it's different if they're a little baby or if they're, like, one and two. That's different. But when you're getting into, like, the four, five, six ages, no, you need a strict plan like that because... If you don't start, then things can really get out of control.
I would say, like, it's actually, like, the difference could be, like, you know, that particular type of mentality, more laid back and kind of not following through with the demands and stuff, is more like an early intervention type therapy as opposed to, like, a DI type therapy.
Right.
As opposed to an RBT therapy. So, and you want an RBT that is willing to listen to your thoughts, your concerns, you know, your opinions, and respect what those are. Because I think that's a big, big thing.
Yeah.
You're the parents. They're not. You know, if you have a boundary about something you do not accept when it comes to therapy, like, they have to be able to be okay with that. You know, if they're not, it's probably not, you know, an RBT that's going to work with you or your child well, so.
No. Next, another anonymous person. How many hours of ABA should my child be doing? So experts usually recommend 40 hours of ABA therapy each week. But usually in reality, the therapists usually work with the clients 10 to 20 hours, I would say, a week. And it can range depending on your child's needs. So if the child's really, really severe, more may be needed. You know, with Grayson, we started off slow. And he was just never a child who could get through 4 hours at a time. It's just too much for him. So you're going to be able to gauge your child. If you have a few sessions, you know, even like with Grayson, sometimes they recommended more at some points. And I thought, there's no way he can barely even get through 2 hours. There's no way he can get through all that. And that was the right call, you know. And now they even agree. We don't want to make it aversive. So for Grayson, that's just enough time. So what we did is we then made it every single day, Monday through Friday, every day, 2 hours. So it's consistent instead of, you know, having more hours, less days. At least it's every day. So it really does help a lot. And it also depends, you know, the child's age. For a young child with autism, you know, they might recommend between 25 to 40 hours of intense comprehensive ABA. Older children, 8 years and above, then it depends on their desired needs and things like that.
Yeah, and if you're going through insurance, the insurance company is going to also have to approve your hours. And
anything over is out of pocket.
Everything I've seen out there, the younger the child is, the more hours they will approve.
Yeah.
So, and I don't necessarily agree with their decision, you know, about how they handle this, but the way they look at it is the older the child is, the less chance of recovery they have.
Which is, like, so wrong.
Which is ridiculous.
You're already saying they can't do something. Like, that's to me, like, they can do anything, and it's possible, especially with therapy and everything else.
So, you know, you have a better chance at getting more services earlier on.
Yeah, most children are between 2 and 6 when they start ABA therapy. The earlier, the better.
And like Alex said, like...
Nothing under 2, though, because they're not...
You don't need to, start off slow, build up, slowly add hours on. Even if you want to go up to 30 hours.
Yeah.
You know, if we were going to do that with Grayson right now, with, you know, which... I mean, we could do that if we wanted to. We could get approved through the insurance for that, but I would never jump from, you know, 15 hours to 30 or 40 hours.
No, with Grayson, what I would do is I would increase another day.
Maybe a year.
I would have another day on the week. Instead of increasing hours, I would add in Saturday or Sunday.
Last question. My child struggles with stimming during therapy. It is affecting his ability to attend and affecting his progress. My BCBA is having trouble managing this. What do you recommend, Diane? We talked about this a little bit earlier in terms of stemming affecting Grayson as well. So we've been going through this. Some of the things we've been doing that have helped him is, you know, we make sure that in between his demands and, different activities and stuff like that, that he's getting time to fulfill the stims he needs.
Yeah.
Making sure the therapist is going out of his way to try to give him those, vestibular motion activities, because that's something that he's really, the type of stim he's really
huge,
into.
Yeah.
And all the stims are different, so I'm not exactly sure what type of, stimming your child's doing.
Right.
But, if it's an oral, maybe get him a chew toy, maybe take that away when, or gradually learn, start introducing taking that away during the therapy, slowly removing it and extending the amount of time out. That's another thing. Try not to go too long working before you give them their break. slowly extend important. That out. So yeah. they get that sensory need fulfilled, but then you slowly extend that time period out and have them work longer and longer, and it's going to help them, learn to adjust to that longer period of time and not needing the stim and not having it affect things. I know with Grayson, another thing that's worked is his weighted vest. That has really helped
him. It has.
Because he has a big need for pressure.
And want to be squeezed. And
stuff like that. So,
he always makes the therapist put his arms around him and squeeze him, his head. So we're going to do a weighted hat, like a baseball cap with some sand in it and stuff to try to weigh that down and provide even more for him. And we might even go up and weight on the vest too. So.
Yeah, and we noticed when we started using it, it was like night and day with the stimming. As soon as he put that on, there was no stimming at all.
Yeah.
That got his knees fulfilled and he was able to work through it. So you could try something like that, if they have that kind of stim going on. Do you have anything else you want to add to that?
No. Like I said, just always, be researching good providers, good companies, school districts. Always make sure you're trying to get your services, your child, all the services they deserve. Try to have therapies, advocates, lawyers fight for you. It can happen. That's pretty much it. And I appreciate everybody writing in questions. We love to do this. Keep them coming. We would love to answer all your questions to the best of our knowledge. We're no experts, but hopefully we gave you some valuable information that you can gain from this episode.
Yeah, definitely. And, a couple of these questions we might, go through again with a guest, like when we have our BCBA Kim on again, asking her, about particularly the BCBA and the positives and negatives of ABA and things like that. Same thing with Sam. Next time we have him on, which should be soon. We've had some crazy scheduling stuff, but we're going to get him on again soon because those were some really good episodes. We review some of these things with them because they might have some ideas that, your BCBA therapist, what have you, or yourselves have not thought of. So,
And, we do this for you guys, so we definitely want to hear from you. And
More comments, the better.
This show
More
is questions, all about you guys and our story and your journey, and keep them coming. So, it was fun. Thank you, guys. And with that,
for autism, building the puzzle one piece at a time. I'm Sean.
And I'm Alex.
Signing off. Take care, everybody. Here at Building the Puzzle, we understand how difficult and challenging it can be for parents with autistic children that have communication delays. Well, if you're in New Jersey, you're in luck. The Speech Paradigm has you covered. They're helping children overcome speech challenges all across New Jersey. They offer both telehealth services as well as in-home therapy. Please reach out to them. You can take a look on their website at www.thespeechparadigm.com. You can reach out by phone at 732-203-5268. You can also find them both on Facebook and Instagram as well at The Speech Paradigm. We are also sponsored by Grayson & Company, making homemade toys. They have everything from wooden homemade toys to sensory bins, sensory boards, all different kinds of toys for your children. They can be reached at grayson-company.myshopify.com as well as on Facebook and Instagram. As well as Etsy. On Etsy, they can be found at Grayson & Company Toys.